Hi, welcome to Torati Mechel Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be learning Parshas Tetzaveh. So in Parshas Tetzaveh, we learn more about the role of the Kohanim. And unusually, Moshe's name isn't mentioned a single time in the Parsha, and instead the focus is on Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. So the Parsha is about the role of the Kohanim in the Mishkan, and it describes their jobs, including lighting the menorah, including the Korban Tumid, the daily sacrifice, and it describes at length the special clothes that they had to wear for service. So to quickly review the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. Firstly, we have the ksonas, which was a white linen tunic, and it covered the entire body, including the neck, including the wrists, the ankles. And then underneath that, we have the mechnasayim, which were white linen pants. On top of the ksonas is the me'il, which was a blue wool cloak. It was four-cornered, a bit like the shape of tzitzis, except it didn't have tzitzis at the corners. And at the bottom, there was a row of bells and pomegranates, which made a noise whenever he walked. And then on top of that, we have the ephod, which was an apron that was made of white linen and blue and red and purple wool all woven together with also gold strands woven in. And it was tied around the waist in the front, and it had straps going from the back over the shoulders. And I'm sorry, it's a little bit hard to explain without a diagram or a picture. And then there's the choshen, the breastplate, which had a different stone, a different precious stone for every single tribe. And it's also known as the Urim V'Tumim, and it was used for communication, to receive messages from Hashem with different stones lighting up to communicate different things. And then there was the Avnet, which was a belt that was wrapped around many times. And the Mitznefes, which was a kind of a white linen hat. And then a Tzitz, which was a gold plate that sat on top of the Mitznefes, on top of the hat, on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, and engraved it had the words Kodesh LaHashem, Holy for Hashem. These were the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. The regular Kohen didn't wear all of these. He just wore four garments. He wore the mechnasayim, the pants, the ksones, the tunic, the avnet, the belt, and the hat, which was a slightly different shape to the hat of the Kohen Gadol, and it had a different name. It was called the megbas, whereas the Kohen Gadol's hat is called the mitznefes. And the regular Kohen's hat was shaped more like a cone, whereas the hat of the Kohen Gadol was more like a flat turban. So those are the clothes of the Kohen Gadol and of the Kohanim. And then finally in the parasha, in the last perek, we're told about the Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden altar, or it's also known as the Mizbeach HaKetores, the altar for the incense. And it's positioned inside the Kodesh, together with the Shulchan and the Menorah, and it's used to bring the Ketores, the incense, every single day. And this Mizbeach HaZahav is going to be our focus for this week, because obviously it's really strange, it's really difficult to understand. Because all the details of the other kelim, all the other vessels of the Mishkan, they were described and they were taught about in the previous parasha, in Parashas Terumah. We were told about the Aron, we were told about the Shulchan, we were told about the Menorah, we were told about the structure of the Mishkan and the coverings of the Mishkan. So why isn't this Mizbeach, why isn't this altar grouped together with the others where it naturally belongs in the previous parasha? And there are lots of answers to this question. But we're going to be discussing the approach from the Nesivos Shalom from the Slonim Rebbe. So he begins by discussing an idea from the Kliokar, who explains why do we have two altars? Why do we need an outside one, outside in the Chatzer, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar, and also this one in our parasha this week, the Mizbeach HaZahav, the inner altar inside the Kodesh. And he explains that these two Mizbechos, these two altars, they correspond to body and to soul. Outer body, inner soul. The outer one atones for the sins of the body, and we offer animals on it that correspond to the sins of the body. When a person sins, he brings an animal, which is as if you're offering up your own animal physical body that drew me to sin. And this is like bringing the animal instead of me, the animal's taking my place, being sacrificed instead of me. Because we have something in common with animals. And animals represent that animal spirit within us, the animal aspect within us. And we sacrifice that animal as almost a symbol of sacrificing the animal within us that led us to sin. But the Kliokar says when we sin, there's also damage to the soul. Every time we sin, sin affects the soul. And we can't use a physical animal to atone for the soul because the animal doesn't have a soul. It's not connected to a higher spiritual world. It doesn't have a higher spiritual self. So he says, how can you use a physical animal, an animal that comes and goes in this world, that's born, it dies, to atone for this everlasting spiritual light that's the neshama of a person? How do we atone for a damaged soul? And so he explains, that's why we have them as Be'er HaKetores. The Ketores, the incense, it produces smoke and it rises up in a straight column and it makes a Reach Nichoyach, a very pleasurable smell. And you can see that's much more spiritual imagery than the sacrifice of an animal and the body and the blood that that would entail. That's very physical imagery. So you can see from the imagery that the Mizbeach HaKetores, the incense altar, is much more spiritual conceptually. Incense is much more spiritual than an animal that's being sacrificed. It's just a smell. It's not a physical thing. And in this way, this Mizbeach atones for the soul. This altar atones for the damage to the Chelek Elokai Mimal we have, to the portion of Hashem inside me that the animal doesn't have that I've damaged through my sin. And if you think about the physical placement of these two altars, their positions, it works very well with this imagery. The first one, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that we sacrifice animals upon, that one is outer, it's in the chotzer, it's in the courtyard. But the Mizbeach, the altar that atones for the sins of the soul, the Mizbeach HaZohav in this week's parasha, it's hidden away inside the Kodesh. It's much less visible, much like our souls. So to summarize so far, we have two Mizbechos, two altars. We have a Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that's in the chotzer, and on that we sacrifice animals to atone for the animal part of me that drove me to sin. And then inside the Kodesh, we have the Mizbeach HaZohav, the Mizbeach HaKetores, that's used to offer up incense, and that's much more spiritual conceptually, and that atones for our souls. Now the Nesivos Shalom expands on this idea of the Kli Yakar, and he goes a little deeper. And he discusses that there are also two kinds of sins, two types of sins that we need to atone for. Physical sins that damage our body, and also more spiritual sins that damage our souls. So now what do we mean by that? All sins are spiritual, right? So he explains that in the first category, we have very physical sins. When the Yetzer Hara overpowers us and we do physical forbidden things, obviously, explicitly physical sins. So we eat forbidden things or wear shatnas or take money that isn't supposed to be ours. But he says there are also sins that damage our souls that are less physical sins. He explains that sometimes something's not an actual physical sin that we do. It's not a specific forbidden action. It's not something we ate that we're not allowed to. It's not something we wore that we're not allowed to. It's not something we said that we're not allowed to, or a relationship that we had that we were not allowed to. Nothing was actually forbidden on paper. And yet, there was something wrong with it, and it damaged our soul. And to explain what he means by this, he references the famous Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah tells us, Kedoshim Tio, you must be holy. And the Ramban discusses, what does it mean to be holy? We have a mandate to be holy. How do we fulfill this? And the Ramban over there describes how it's possible for a person to eat strictly glatt kosher food, and yet eat in a way, or eat types of quantities, or certain types of foods, where he isn't doing anything specifically wrong, there's no quote-unquote avera, but it's still not okay. It's something that's called novel berushos haTorah. It's a disgusting person in a way that's permissible according to Torah law, which means that maybe a person, by being obsessed with food or overly indulging in food or talking all day long about the food or thinking all day long about the food, and it's all strictly kosher food, of course, but by doing this, he's not holy. And perhaps this is something that we particularly struggle with in an age where there is so much kosher available. And I'm not just talking about kosher food here. There are so many possibilities for things that are halachically permissible. But if we get carried away with them, we're just not holy. And this is what's meant by sins of the soul. It's much more subtle. It's much more nuanced. It's the idea of misusing things which are really permissible to use. Things like generally life's pleasures, food, wine, intimacy. Things that the Torah never said was explicitly usur, never said they're specifically forbidden, but they can be done in a certain way that they violate our holiness. This is the idea of novel berushos haTorah, that you can follow a halachic life precisely, but still live a base and disgusting life. And this Mizbeach HaKetores that we learn about in this week's parasha, the incense altar, this is designated for this mandate of Kedoshim Tio, because it's about correcting these kind of sins, the sins of the soul. The sins that are technically right, but they violate the spirit of the Torah. If you think about it, Ketores is all about smell. And this Mizbeach is correcting the things that just don't smell right. Even if they're technically strictly within Halacha, they don't smell right. So we have the outer altar, the Mizbeach and Achoshes, and that's for violations of Halacha in a more physical sense. And then we have the inner altar for the violations of the spirit of the Torah. And it could be suggested that these kind of sins are actually worse than regular physical violations of Halacha. Because when a person sins in an obviously physical way, so they violated Halacha somehow, they know they're wrong, they feel unhappy, they have a guilty conscience, and they do teshuva, they try and take steps to correct that. But when someone violates the spirit of the law, they're not always aware that they've done something wrong, or they can justify to themselves that it isn't wrong. They don't have a conscience about it necessarily, so they don't take steps to correct it. And without having a guilty conscience about something, we're so much further away from teshuva and so much further away from self-correction. You know, we need to feel a little bit broken in order to feel that we need to fix something. But with these very nuanced sins, it's much harder to get that broken feeling, and therefore it's much, much harder to correct. And the Nesiva Shalom said that this kind of sin, it's like a bad smell. It hovers over a person, it sticks to us. And this person wants to be brought into the king. He wants an audience with the king. But he smells bad, so he can't come into the king because he smells bad. And he looks pristinely clean. You can't identify the source of the smell. Why does he stink of herring? His clothes are perfectly clean. There's not a spot in sight. But still, even if he looks pristinely clean and we don't know why he smells, he still can't come to this king if he smells bad. And he says it's the same thing with spirituality. Even if there's no particular explicit sin that we can identify, we can pinpoint, if there's a bad smell, we can't come to the king. Can't approach Hashem that way. We can't get close to Hashem. It's a barrier to holiness. Even if there's nothing specifically wrong or problematic, no violation of halacha, we can't get close to the king if we smell bad. And this is what the idea of the Mizbeach HaKeteris is about. This Keteris was brought every single day to atone for the souls of Klal Yisrael, to fix our very subtle, nuanced sins that just smell wrong. There's actually another Ramban that discusses a similar idea in Parashas Ve'etzchanan, Perek Vav, in Sefer Devarim, where the Torah tells us, for Asisa Hayashar V'hatov, you should do that which is good and that which is correct. And the Ramban famously says over there that it's impossible for the Torah to specify every situation a person can encounter, every response to every scenario, every type of appropriate behavior, every permutation of what could happen with friends, with family, in business. And the Torah does teach us a lot of good behaviors and a lot of responses to things. It teaches us that you can't bear a grudge. It teaches us that you can't be a bystander when someone's suffering. It teaches us that you can't curse the deaf. But then it also gives us a generic, you have to do what is good and right. Because to be a good Jew, to be a holy Jew, we have to sometimes go beyond the letter of the law. We sometimes have to use our intellect, our instincts, to respond appropriately to the situations, even if we haven't specifically been told, you must do this, you're not allowed to do that. Torah and Yiddishkeit is not just about keeping the things that are explicitly said. It's also about inferring and using our seichel to know what to do, even when it hasn't been said. And then this helps us understand why this Mizbeach, why the Mizbeach HaKeteris, the golden altar, the Mizbeach HaZov, why it's described here in Parashas Tetzaveh at the end of the whole description of everything to do with the Mishkan. Because the whole purpose of the Mishkan is to help us approach the King, is to purify us, is to bring us closer to Hashem, is to help us reconnect in some way or another. This is the whole point of the Mishkan. So after describing all of the other vessels, all the Kelim that help us reconnect to Hashem, the Aron and the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, okay? Then comes the incense altar that brings this Reach Nichoach LaHashem, that brings this sweet smell. Because if we want to approach the king, if we want to get close to the king, we have to smell pleasant. So this helps us to atone for those very spiritual, subtle defects to the soul, to purify us from this residual smell of sin. It's the culmination of the whole purification process. First, we purify the very obvious external things, the explicit sins, and then we refine that purification more and more, so you're dealing with more and more subtle levels of refinement, all the way to the most internal, subtle things that you can't even pinpoint exactly why they're wrong, but there's something not right about them, the innermost level of holiness. And in this way, the Torah emphasizes that ultimately the whole purpose of a Jew is to be holy, that mitzvahs help us get there, but the purpose is to be holy. And sometimes this requires even going beyond the exact instructions of the mitzvahs. It's not enough to always be right on paper. To be a Jew is to do the right thing, whether or not it's right on paper. The Mizbeach is described at the end of the parasha as Kodesh Kodoshim Hu LaHashem. This is holy of holies. This Mizbeach is the holiest of holy. It's the Mizbeach for the soul. It's the Mizbeach that helps us correct this Chelek Alekhaimi Ma'al, this holiest part of ourselves. So we no longer have this Mizbeach today, and we hope and pray all the time that it's going to be restored to us very soon. But in the meantime, we can try and internalize the message of this Mizbeach, that we can't just focus on the obvious and atone for the very explicit sins, but to be a holy Jew, we need to be conscious of the very fine and subtle levels that pertain to our souls. Have a great week.